In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth,
a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David.
The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus.
He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High.
The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. The kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin."
The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.
So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
"Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age.
And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month."
"For no word from God will ever fail."
"I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered.
"May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about.
His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was bound to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit.
Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace,
he had in mind to divorce her quietly.
But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
"Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife,
because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
She will give birth to a son,
and you are to give him the name Jesus."
"Jesus.
Jesus.
Because he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea,
where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth.
When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb.
And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women,
and blessed is the child you will bear.
But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?"
"As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy."
"Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea,
to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born.
And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son.
She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you.
He is the Messiah, the Lord.
This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child.
And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart.
The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen,
which were just as they had been told.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod,
Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked,
"Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?
We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him."
When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him.
When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born.
"In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written.
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah.
For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared.
He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child.
As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him."
After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them,
until it stopped over the place where the child was.
When they saw the star, they were overjoyed.
On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him.
Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
"For to us a child is born,
to us a son is given,
and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called
Wonderful Counselor,
Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end.
He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom,
establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
The zeal of the Lord Almighty
will accomplish this."
Frohe Weihnachten.
Joyeux Noël.
Feliz Navidad.
Frohe Weihnachten.
Joyeux Noël à tous.
Feliz Navidad.
Shangdan Kuala.
Joyeux Noël.
And Mili Kaliki Maka.
And
welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. The scriptures marked NET are from the Net Bible, netbible.com, copyright 1996, 2019, used with permission from Biblical Studies Press, LLC. All rights reserved. Thank you for joining us this week. The service is titled, Christmas is Wonderful, but Not Always Easy. Thank you to Don, Jeff, and Ed for being involved in this video. The scripture reading is Luke 1, 46-55 from the New International Version. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our time together.
And as I look out, I see some familiar faces, well, most of your faces. But it's good to be together and to have this time together. But today I would like to welcome some people to our gathering that I know are going to be watching, because we've had some contact with some folks and got some feedback from some folks, and they are watching. So I'd like us to be aware that we're welcoming this morning Denise and Rodney from Riverhurst, Saskatchewan. We're also welcoming Dwayne and Janice and Brandon and Brian and Brent from California, from a place, Alta Loma, California, that will be joining us, and also Ruth and Andrew. Ruth is Barbie's sister from Florida. We're aware that these folks are watching, and maybe others too. And if I didn't mention you out there in cyberspace, you're welcome as well. And we'd love to know if you're listening and watching each week. We're glad to do this for ourselves and for the good of people in other places who can tune in. So as far as announcements go this morning, I think we have a few. Amanda is having a birthday this week, and she's going to Oakville this week to train with a service dog for Renee, and they're graduating on Friday, and that's really exciting for that family. Diane. Also, Debbie is having a birthday this week. I had a nice visit with Len this week on the phone, and they're doing very well, but they're being especially cautious. Len shared with me that he had a heart procedure this fall, a stent put in. He's had some medical issues. He feels like he has a compromised immune system, and that's keeping him away, but he is here in spirit. And also an anniversary this week for Jeff and Jan. And we mourn with John and Joe. It's not easy. I can't imagine it being easy to have a child of yours die. But we are in prayer for them and interacting with where we can. And Grant is expected home from the hospital this week. This is massively good news for that couple. It's been a long haul for Grant being in the hospital, and this is really terrific that healing has got to the level where he can come home. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for this opportunity that we can be together today, that we can receive encouragement from each other in our faith walks, that we can have encouragement to know that you love us and care for us, and that you have provided an eternal home for us once this life is done. We're thankful for those who have prepared the service today, and we pray for its effectiveness in reaching our spiritual selves and the spiritual selves of people who are watching online. We're thankful, Father, for this opportunity to be together, and we pray your blessing over what we're doing today. In Jesus' name, amen.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night, O holy night, O night divine, led by face serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, and all our trials born to be our friend. He knows our needs to our weakness, is no stranger. Behold your King before him lowly bend. Behold your King before him lowly bend. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for a slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus we raise, we let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever, his power and glory evermore proclaim, his power and glory evermore proclaim.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the wonderful music today. And Ed, thank you for your wonderful voice and blessing us today as you bless us and our elders bless us so often. I want to share a brief message today that all of you would know very well. If I put a title to the sermon, it's this: Christmas. It's wonderful. But it's not always easy. And I think we know that, especially this year with the pandemic. Christmas is wonderful. Barb and I have enjoyed traveling back and forth to different places and looking at all the beautiful, colorful lights in our neighborhood. There's a lot of laughter, along with the sadness and the worry because of the pandemic. There's joy, but it's not always easy. There are tears that sometimes come because of various situations and some suppressing loneliness that people experience. And I think that Mary and Joseph understood some of those incredible feelings. Maybe some worry, some loneliness, some anxiety because of what they were going through. Joseph, the quotation father of Jesus, but not really the father of Jesus, he had to have great faith to believe the message of God that was delivered to him by an angel in a dream. Now, we've heard the story over and over again, and I don't know why. I'm a very slow learner. I have to hear things over and over and over again. And as a minister now for more than 40 years, it just overwhelmed me how it would not have been easy at all for Joseph or Mary, and if any of us could put ourselves in their shoes, how would we do with this? In a dream, an angel speaks to us. And I'll just read the words from Matthew 1, starting in 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, in a dream, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." I wonder, when Joseph woke up, that the first thing he might have said was, "That's the craziest dream I've ever had in my life." Can you imagine? We've heard the story all of our life. But to really be there and somehow put ourselves in their shoes, what must it have been like? As the song that we heard today, the powerful, powerful song. And then we're talking about Christmas and how it's not always easy. And even here, giving birth to the Son of God, the one who will forgive us of our sins, the one who will live in us forever and ever, wasn't easy. Because they're on the run after the birth. And King Herod wants this child found because he heard from his own people that this was the Messiah, the king who was to come. And he wanted that baby destroyed. And to be sure that that baby was going to be destroyed, a terrible thing took place. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16, Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi. That's another part of the story. And King Herod was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Christmas isn't always wonderful. I can't even begin to imagine that part of the Christmas story. There are no words. And yet Christ eventually comes into the world and lives in our heart with great joy. He comes alongside us. Sometimes when it's not a joyful heart. But he always comes beside us. The following scripture that I want to read to you today, you probably know very well. It is seldom, if ever, used at Christmas. But it's probably one of the great Christmas scriptures that we can read. And here are these words spoken by Jesus. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke," which I think means his teaching, "take my teaching upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus didn't say it, but I think inferred it with these words. "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. But it might take a lot longer than you think. We live in a society where we want everything instantly. We live in a very fast-paced society, so fast that sometimes it's hard to just let this wonderful season rest upon us with everything that happened in the birth, the dream, the horrible things taking place with the slaughter of the innocents, and yet Christ coming into not only the world, but 2,000 years later, our world. We live in a pandemic. Jesus hasn't left. He's alongside us. And if there's anything positive, and there really isn't, but if there's anything positive with the pandemic, it is for people to slow down and call out to our Savior who says, "Come to me, all of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest." The author of Hebrews, whoever he or she might be, says these words, "Do not grow weary and lose heart. But remember, you have come to Mount Zion." Stop. Where in the world is Mount Zion? And again, it's this expression, you have come into the presence of God. And as has been spoken so many times in Scripture, God knew us before we were born. God lives in us today and forever. And the reminder for all of us, even at Christmas time, as joyous as it might be or as lonely as it might be, remember, don't grow weary, don't lose heart, but always remember, you have come to God. You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And if the angels are in joyful assembly, so should we be in joyful assembly. It's difficult. Christmas is wonderful, but it's not always easy. Until we remember who surrounds us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and angels that are countless in advocating in our lives. We are never alone, especially at Christmas. And if you feel alone, I want to read to you an event that took place with the understanding of being weary and burdened, and that Christmas is not always easy for a lot of people. This true story takes place in September of 1960. Goes back a few years. Here is what she, a mom, says. "I woke up one morning with six hungry babies. I had 75 cents to my name. Their father was gone. My boys ranged from 3 months to 7 years. Their sister was two. Their dad had never been much more than a presence they feared. And whenever they heard his tires crunch on the gravel driveway, they would scramble to hide under their beds. He did manage to leave $15 on occasion to buy groceries. And now that he had decided to leave the family completely, there would be no more beatings of the children, but no food either. If there was a welfare system in effect in southern Indiana at that time, I certainly knew nothing about it. I scrubbed the kids until they look brand new, and put on my best homemade dress, and loaded the kids into my rusty old 1951 Chevy and drove off to find a job. The seven of us went to every factory, store, and restaurant in our small town, but no luck. The kids stayed crammed into the car and tried to be quiet while I tried to convince whomever would listen that I was willing to work, I was willing to learn or do anything, I had to have a job. No luck. The last place we went to was just a few miles out of town, and it was an old root beer barrel drive-in that had been converted into a truck stop. It was called the Big Wheel. An older woman called Granny owned the place, and she peeked out of the window from time to time to look at all those kids in my car. She did need someone on the graveyard shift, 11 at night until 7 in the morning. She paid 65 cents an hour, and I could start that night. I raced home and called the teenager down the street. She babysat for various people, and I bargained with her to come and sleep on my sofa for a dollar a night. She could arrive with her pajamas on, and the kids would already be asleep. This seemed like a good arrangement to her, so we made the deal. That night, when the little ones and I knelt to say prayers, we all thanked God for finding Mommy a job. And so I started at the Big Wheel. When I got home in the mornings, I woke the babysitter up, sent her home with $1 of my tip money, fully half of what I averaged every night. As the weeks went by, heating bills added a strain to my meager wage. The tires on the old Chevy had the consistency of balloons and began to leak. I had to fill them with air on my way to work and fill them again on my way home from work. One bleak fall morning, I dragged myself to the car to go home, and I found 4 tires in the back seat. New tires. There was no note, no nothing. Just those beautiful brand new tires. Had angels taken up residence in Indiana? I wondered. I made a deal with the local service station. In exchange for his mounting the new tires, I would clean up his office. And I remember it took me a lot longer to scrub his floor than it did for him to do the tires. I was now working 6 nights instead of 5, and it still wasn't enough. Christmas was coming, and I just knew there would be no money for toys for the kids. So I found a can of red paint and started repairing and painting some old toys. Then hid them in the basement so there would be something for Santa to deliver on Christmas morning. Clothes. Clothes were a worry, too. I was sewing patches on top of patches on the boys' pants, and soon they would be too far gone to repair. On Christmas Eve, the usual customers at the Big Wheel were drinking coffee. These were the truckers, Les, Frank, and Jim, and a state trooper named Joe. A few musicians were hanging around after a gig at the Legion and were dropping nickels in the pinball machine. The regulars all just sat around and talked through the wee hours of the morning and then left to get home before the sun came up. When it was time for me to go home at 7 o'clock on Christmas morning, to my amazement, my old battered Chevy was filled full to the top with boxes of all shapes and sizes. I quickly opened the driver's side door, crawled inside, knee-led, in the front, facing the back seat. Reaching back, I pulled off the lid of the top box. Inside was a whole case of blue jeans, ranging from sizes 2 through 10. I looked inside another box. It was full of shirts to go with the jeans. Then I peeked in some of the other boxes. There was candy and nuts and bananas and bags of groceries. There was an enormous ham for baking and canned vegetables and potatoes. There was pudding and jello and cookies and pie filling and flour. And there was a whole bag of laundry supplies and cleaning items. And there were 5 toy trucks and 1 little beautiful doll. As I drove back through the empty streets, as the sun slowly rose on the most amazing Christmas day of my life, I was sobbing with gratitude. I'll never forget the joy on the faces of my little ones that precious morning. Yes, there were angels in Indiana that long ago December, and they all hung out at the big wheel truck stop. The power of prayer, I believe, God gives to us all. Pray. Pray with your strength and pray with power. And the author of this says, and I think that God answers prayers in 3 separate ways. The first one is yes. The second is, not right now. And the third is, I've got something better in mind. Be patient. You may be going through a difficult time right now, but God is aware of every part of your life, and he loves you. So, the author says, and I say amen to it, let's continue to pray, especially for each other and all those we pray for. And here is the prayer. Father, I ask you to bless all the people we know. Show them yourself. Show them a revelation of your love and of your power. Somebody once said, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Life has a way of pulling us away from God. God has a way of pulling us closer to him. The safest place any of us can be at Christmas is in God's arms. We live by God's strength. Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens us. We live knowing and experiencing God's presence. I am with you always. I will never forsake you. We live by God's peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And we live by God's encouragement. May God, who gives us eternal encouragement, encourage your heart and strengthen you in every deed. 2 Thessalonians 2. You live by God's thinking. Who knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit? And we have received the Spirit that we may understand God. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. And lastly, we live by God's power. Now to him who is able to give you immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within you, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus all forevermore. Yes, Christmas may not be easy this year. But remember the same God who spoke to all at Christmas speaks to us. And remember, we are never alone. There are angels surrounding us. There is God who loves us and lives in us, as does Christ and as does the Spirit. Christmas isn't always easy, but I want to encourage each one of us to say, because of Jesus, I will have a merry Christmas.
Good day. I record this as the COVID pandemic continues, and my prayer is that it will offer encouragement to you whenever you might have the chance to hear it. Jesus is a person who refuses to be ignored. His life continues to this day to impact people to powerful and impassioned responses. If we look at the time near the end of his life, we get great insight into what this man cultivated in the hearts of the people who watched and waited for Israel's redemption. I want to look at three emotional words that were used by the crowds in relation to this man, Jesus. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Save us! Save us now, or save us, please. This is the adulation of the crowds as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. They recognized the promised one, the Messiah, the anointed Christ, and now they cried out to be saved. Were they just looking for freedom from Rome's dominance and oppression? Or is there something more fundamental about this humble figure riding not a magnificent war horse, but a young donkey? Whatever they understood, this was a time of celebration and rejoicing. Yet in just one short week, something changed. Jesus wasn't meeting the expectation they had of this coming King of Israel. Why, it seemed he was out to change everything. He was seen clearing the temple in wrath, calling it a den of robbers. And about that same temple that they held in such high regard, he foretold that it would come crashing down. He was getting very personal, and they felt it. That's why the religious leaders would easily find people willing to state that Jesus had claimed he could destroy this temple and in 3 days rebuild it. Of course, we know that he spoke about his own body. And he did not deny it when the high priest charged him under oath to tell them, "Are you the Messiah?" The fickle crowd was easily swayed by these same religious leaders who wanted him out of the way. So when Pilate asked whether he should release Barabbas, a known murderer and insurrectionist, or Jesus, the crowds chose Barabbas for pardon and called out about Jesus, "Crucify, crucify," the second of our words. From adoration to condemnation in a matter of just 5 days. But Jesus knew who he was and what he had come to do. So lovingly, he carried their sins as he was hung on that cross, so they would not have to face God's condemnation. And God accepted that sacrifice, and the crowds got exactly what they'd called out for a week before, an offering of salvation. If that were where it ended, it would have been a worthy gift from the Son to the Father, but one of promise only for the people. That brings us to our final word uttered by the crowds. 50 days later, God's promise of a new beginning was ready. The Spirit fell upon his early followers. Still, some in the crowd mocked, but many had been acutely impacted by the events of Calgary and saw God's hand at work. So when Peter stood up and said in Acts 2, "Let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ," the Bible says they were cut to the heart. And the word this time, brothers. They recognized in themselves that they were one family, a family under God. And they continued, "What can we do now?" Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized. Accept God's forgiveness through Jesus." And we're still in that situation today. We too sentenced him to carry our sins because God cannot abide with sin. But praise to the Son and to the Father, Jesus saw it through. What started with the jubilant shouts of Hosanna fell to the hateful cries, "Crucify," and finally muted to the guilty question, "Brothers, what can we do?" It's returned us to a new relationship with God. Salvation has come. Celebrate and live a life of joy in him and invite others to do the same. Take the bread and the cup today in thankfulness for God's indescribable gift. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the gift that your Son brought us, salvation and a renewed relationship with you. As we take this bread, we remember the man who rode in to Jerusalem on a donkey, who cleared the temple, who sat with the crowds and taught them. Your voice coming to us through him. And Father, as we take this cup, we remember that it is his blood that this symbolizes that washes us clean and makes us presentable and white and the objects of your unending love. Thank you, Father, for his amazing gift. In his name we pray. Amen. Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. May God bless your week.
Thank you, Don, for your sermon today. Very thoughtful presentation, and for Jeff Taylor's presentation around the Lord's Supper. We're grateful for those great messages today. Well, today, our son Matthew is 40 years old. Rhonda said the other day, "When I was 40 years old, you were old." Now, when we look at Matthew at 40 years old, we think, boy, he looks young. I think it's the perspective of getting up every morning. If you do it long enough, you have perspective. This past week, I'm part of a Grimsby Seniors Choir, and we have Zoom meetings We have practices, and on Fridays we get together and we sing to each other. So this week we had to pick a song that was from a movie, a Christmas song from a movie. So I did. I picked a song from, I'm not going to sing it for you. I've done enough of that today. The song that I selected was Have Yourselves a Merry Little Christmas. So I did some research on the song. It was written for a movie, Meet Me in St. Louis. It was sung by Judy Garland in 1944. So it's during the Second World War. And one of the things as I thought about this week and as I thought about the Christmas season this year being a little different, there's a line in the song, two lines in the song that stood out to me. And it goes, through the years we'll all be together if faith allows. So this song was written with hope of being together, people being together at Christmas time, at a time during the Second World War where there wasn't a lot of hope. So sometimes I think, you know, I get the feeling that with our present circumstances that we're feeling a little bit out of sorts. But we heard today about the birth of Jesus Christ, a miracle, a gift given for all of us. It was both tragic and beautiful. And this year, as we celebrate Christmas, we have an opportunity to participate in the miracle of Christmas, like the story that Don read. We can participate in each other's miracle if we have thoughtfulness and imagination. I remember that year when I was a child dragging a Christmas tree home from my grade four teacher's class, from our classroom, because at the holidays, the tree was going to be thrown out. And my parents told me we couldn't have a tree this year. We didn't have enough money. I dragged it home. The time I got it home, it had hardly any needles on it. It had been sitting in the room for 3 weeks, probably not being watered. But I remember that Christmas because there was a little bit of difficulty. So my admonition is that even though we have these circumstances this year, that to be emboldened to try to participate, like God did through Jesus Christ in someone's miracle, your grandchildren or your children or your neighbors or someone. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful to you for the miracle of Jesus, for the giving of this precious gift, this life-changing, culture-changing, history-changing gift. And we pray, Father, that we might always in our lives, no matter what happens to us, that we might say, thank you, God, for this great gift. And that we might, Father, through our imagination and through your Spirit, be emboldened to participate in the miracle of other people. We pray this blessing on our time together today, that it has been a joy to you and a strength to each other. And as we part, we pray, Father, the church will leave the building and be your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Beansville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beansville, Ontario. You can find out more about the congregation and get in touch by visiting beansvillechurchofchrist.ca or our Facebook page.